The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. All the way at the top right of my screen, where he belongs, it's Professor Jim Tubbs.
Now, why do I belong at the top right of your screen?
I don't know. I just thought it sounded cool.
Okay. Well, I'm fairly comfortable up here in my box. So,
how is 2021 treating you, Jim?
Ask later in the year.
Will do. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. Here we are, mm-hmm. We're just a few days before our regular winter classes start, and we've been paying attention to all sorts of things in the news and what have you. Any comments, Jim?
No, I think I'll leave it at that. I'm just hoping the news gets better.
Yes, that would be nice. That would definitely be nice. Continuing around the horn here, Professor Stephanie Conant is here from the Department of Biology.
Hello, it is nice to be back. It's been a long time.
Yeah, and I love that background. The tardigrade is awesome.
If you don't know about tardigrades, you should. I know, this way, this way. I'm looking for this picture with smaller tardigrades, but yeah.
I still think
love your local water bear. I don't know.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It's everybody's duty. Everybody. Professor Dave Chow is here. Of course, I grab him right when he's taking a sip. That's the way it goes. How's it going in 21, Dave?
Could be worse. Could be better. No complaints. Not really.
Okay.
You know, at least we're not living on the outskirts of Lansing right about now, you know, getting overrun. So,
yeah, that's always good.
I'm okay.
We haven't gotten to the point where we're using particle board to block the entrances to our basements quite yet.
Not yet. So,
yeah.
Hey, besides, I also know a good place to get cyclone fencing right around the block from you. So, I mean,
that's right. Just in case.
Yeah. Just in case.
Oh, Stephanie has taken the water bear out into space. Now right. We're cooking.
Now it's just a little one.
Yep.
In space.
Very cool.
Just to prove that it can survive there.
It can. Yep.
That, of course, being the dulcet tones of Professor Beth Oljar.
Hello.
What's shaking, Beth?
Not a whole lot. mean...
You had to think about that?
We stumped her already.
Not enough. I can't even imagine, Professor Oljar, what your classes will be like going forward. So much fodder, so many things to talk about.
I did get an email from a student in philosophy of law who said that she really wished she had our class to talk to after.
Of course.
And I was at the doctor when a lot of this was going down. So I literally had been getting, you know, dribs and drabs of information over the following days. I didn't see everything that happened as it happened. So
yeah, we were in a giant college-wide faculty meeting, and I couldn't help myself. I just started dropping science in the chat. I'm like, suddenly I feel like this meeting shouldn't be happening. Is anybody else seeing what I'm seeing? Okay, 2x4s through the windows. I'm out. Bye. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Professor Mara Livesey is here with us, and of course, Jupiter accompanies her today.
Yes, hello. In that same faculty meeting, when I was presenting, you know, I had another tab open on my computer, just like refreshing, looking for updates.
Unbelievable. It's something weird, by the way. We couldn't escape it. And I know I'm going to get in trouble if this gets back to our fair dean. But apparently there is a first staff meeting of the year scheduled for the very meat of Inauguration Day. And I said, Jane, you should just tell Katie that you're going to be sick at that day or something. I don't know.
Is it noon? Is that right?
Yes.
It noon?
Okay. I think so. Yeah.
I have an online class at 1 and I thought like playing that, you know, and then just talking over on the side, like having it silenced over here so people could still watch it and pretend that they're listening to me go over a syllabus or something.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little envious that Jim is going to be completely numbed during the inauguration.
No, I don't think I will be.
Continuing around the set of boxes here, Professor Heather Hill, fresh back from her sabbatical.
I'm not back yet, baby.
Got a whole nother semester.
Yeah.
I knew that saying that would get a rise out of you.
Yeah, yeah. You're so predictable.
How are things going, Heather?
Be a little better.
That's all right. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Ask the professor makes everything a little bit better, like the chiropractor.
Okay. So it's going to snap us back in place.
That's right. Let's crack the back of this show and get down to business.
Let's align you better.
I went to a surgeon for that. So.
You know. Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Twice. Two different parts of my spine.
Well, Heather, we're glad to see you here at ATP today.
I'm glad to see you here as well.
Excellent. Now, someone's going to have to explain what this box labeled Stephen contains, because I see books, I recognize those, but everything else is, it's like one of those CAPTCHA things. Are you a robot? Like, is Stephen in this box? Well, of course he isn't, you know?
The refugee Stephen from Les Mis is missing.
Stephen, you definitely dropped some poundage by shaving off your beard.
Yeah, I guess. You should have seen the barber's floor when he was finished.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you couldn't see the barber's floor.
With the hair.
Oh, my gosh. Incredible. Incredible. Like, you're like a totally different man.
I think there was a... He added a surcharge for the cleanup.
Oh, my gosh. Professor Dan Maggio is also here with us today. What's going on, Dan?
Not too much. Glad we have off on Monday. You do too, don't you?
Yeah, we do. First day of the semester off. Big thumbs
all
up.
I can offer.
That's okay, Dan. Everybody has
for me,
their...
We don't start until Wednesday. Actually, I'd be fine, but I'm still glad I don't start until Wednesday.
Sure, sure.
So the same arrangements for next term is all remote?
Relatively speaking, yeah. Mm-hmm. Relatively. We have data in on that with only a few days to go before the first day of the term, that there was a 6% shift to more remote teaching for the winter semester at Detroit Mercy.
Only 6%?
Well, it was a low percentage to start with. So now we're at less than 5% total in person.
Wow.
Of course. Huh. So, yeah. Continuing, we got a couple more people we got to announce here. Professor Jeff Boats is with us. What's shaking, Jeff?
Not too much. Getting excited for another semester coming up.
That's right.
Completely what's online on your, the math department.
Yeah, what's on your teaching docket?
Oh, this semester? Well, online algebra as usual, and then just calculus and math history.
Okay. Math history is always good for a chuckle.
Yeah, that's I think fun. Math history would be interesting.
It's a fun course. It's fun. These days, it's sort of the stand-in for if a student has dyscalculia and can't do algebra or anything like that, they end up taking math history instead because it's not a part of any programs anymore now that we don't have education. But
that's right.
I still get customers for that.
That's cool. Last but most certainly not least, we have Professor Jacob Kagi from biology, the 6 mile fly guy himself, as a guest panelist today. Thanks for joining us, Jacob.
I appreciate the invitation. And I'm part of the other. I'm going from online to in person. So I've screwed up the numbers that way. So it'll be fun.
Yikes.
Everybody are you bringing all your flies with you?
Oh, I travel with them, Jim. Yeah, they come with me. Yeah,
great.
You can't do research on these things if you don't have them handy all the time.
I have definitely looked up before, especially when I moved here from Atlanta, like what the interstate laws were for me driving with like 700 stocks of flies in my car.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh my God.
For sure.
That's why I leave the McDonald's wrappers in the back to feed them.
I mean, oh, sheesh. Yeah. I knew there was a joke about McDonald's wrappers or rotting fruit coming.
There it is, yeah.
We've already cleared it. Hey, folks, you know, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. You can stump the panel and win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We have a very well-timed set of questions here, and I will read the intro sent to us last December, so very long ago. Dear profs, well, we're heading into another long winter here in the Upper Peninsula, as if 2020 hasn't been long enough. To tell the truth, staying home is what we're best at up here anyway. So this hasn't been all that different during the pandemic. I decided to entertain myself by jotting down a few questions about our presidents. There's only 12, and I'll consider 10 a passing score. Whew, high standard. Have fun, and here's to staying healthy. Your question set is Inaugurations and Other Presidential Factoids by Marilyn Bachorek in the very, very cold city of Munising, Michigan. Mm. Thanks for sending those questions, Marilyn.
Yep.
Just in time to come probably a week or two after our annual four-year ritual here in the United States. So here we go. Which American president gave the shortest inaugural address if you measure the number of words?
Ooh, okay. I'm going to guess Lincoln.
Lincoln is a good guess. It's not.
The Gettysburg Address was so short.
That's true.
I'm thinking like intelligent words or
Washington's first.
Or you know, I'm going to go partial credit for you there, Beth, because it was Washington's second.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a little longer.
I know which president had the least coherent sentences in his.
Yeah. Oh, you mean sentences in general?
Complete sentences, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Syllables.
It says Washington's second was only 135 words. And if you had to summarize it, it basically would come down to, I've got work to do.
Wow.
So
nice. I'm here.
Who gave, and this is actually quite a twist here. I wish that they would have included the number of words. According to popular tradition, hint, hint, who gave the longest inaugural address?
Probably Obama. William Henry Harrison.
It was he died Henry because Harrison. Of it. So. Yeah, it was deadly.
It too.
He spoke for over 2 hours in bitter cold and, of course, was dead 31 days later.
Cold drizzle, yes.
Yep. So far, only one American president has been sworn in by a woman. Who was that?
Oh, Johnson. LBJ.
It was.
On the plane, yeah.
LBJ.
Oh, yeah.
On Air Force One in Dallas after John Kennedy was assassinated, Johnson chose Federal District Judge Sarah Hughes, a longstanding friend, to swear him in. Ooh, which president was sworn into office by his father?
Kennedy?
Calvin Coolidge.
It says here, Jim's on a tear. It was Coolidge. Yeah, oh. Coolidge.
Well, Jim attended it. That's why.
In a cabin in Vermont or something.
That's right.
After he found out that Harding had died. Yeah.
Yep. By the light of a kerosene lamp, his father, the local notary, administered the oath of office as he placed his hand on the family Bible.
After Harding had died mysteriously in San Francisco.
Dun, dun, dun. In 1992, during a visit to Japan, President George Herbert Walker Bush attended a state dinner where he did something embarrassing.
He threw up.
Yep.
That was unfortunate.
Yep. It says that he actually threw up.
And we thought that was scandalous.
I just felt bad for him because I imagine how mortified he must have been.
Right.
According to popular legend, and I seem to remember the video, which shows my generation, he actually vomited on the Japanese prime minister.
He did. He was sitting next to
him.
The lean over.
Not fun. Not fun.
Two stars.
Well, we got something to talk about. I mean, you know.
Two stars. Oh, my.
That was American carnage.
Yeah. Frequently acknowledged.
Example we had of...
This question says, frequently acknowledged pre-Trump, in parentheses, as the worst American president, who actually gambled away a set of White House china in a poker game?
Well, I mean, worst has always been...
Andrew Jackson?
Yeah, I was going to say Nixon, but...
This is early 20th century. I should know this, but I'm blanking.
I remember hearing this.
Warren Harding?
It wasn't the worst.
It actually says it was Harding. Yeah, it says it was Harding.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, whether he was worst or not, he gambled away.
He was not the worst. Not anymore. Nope.
He's been eclipsed. Somebody set the bar high. Trump.
I think Jackson's got a pretty good claim.
Yeah.
Well, Buchanan is no prize.
That's really going to...
And let's not forget, I know I bring this up every time, Beth, but... Jackson was the one who accused someone running against him of being a cannibal. I just always think that that's the most hilarious thing ever.
Wow. Jackson, it's like QAnon.
At least I don't eat other humans like my distinguished colleague over here.
Right. In a pizza parlor in New York.
I was just going to say, a pizza parlor.
The thing is, they've always been crazy. man. There have always been crazy people, but they didn't always have the internet.
That's true.
That's right.
Of all the presidential children still living, now I want to point out this was submitted 1st of December, 2020. Who's the oldest, born March 19th, 1944? P.S. Hint, it's a woman.
Is it Nixon's daughter?
Eisenhower's daughter.
Yeah, I was going to say Eisenhower. Yeah.
You know, I have Trisha Nixon was actually born in 1946, so she's on the short list, but this isn't the correct response.
Kennedy?
Truman?
No.
Jimmy Carter?
No.
H.W. Bush?
Can't be. No, these are of all the presidential children that are still living.
Or sorry, W. Bush.
Children.
Isn't no, you know, it says it's Linda Bird Johnson Robb. Linda Bird Johnson Robb.
Okay.
Oh.
1944. In reverse order from there to round out the top five, Michael Reagan, George W. was a good guess.
Yep.
Trisha Nixon and Lucy Baines Johnson.
Okay.
Got to put an X
on that one. I forgot thinking about George W. Bush as the kid of a
child.
President.
Someone's child, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody claims him as a child.
Well, they somebody did.
Everybody's somebody's kid.
He was birthed.
I teach genetics. It's really easy. It's just...
Oh, man. Which newly sworn-in president was lassoed while standing at the podium?
Roosevelt?
Right.
All right, who is this
You're
kinky?
In the right window.
Let's see. Bill Clinton while wearing leather. No.
Was it Truman?
Was it LBJ kind of thing?
No.
No.
A Texas kind of thing?
Hoover? Lassiter. Yeah.
Lassiter. So the way it the story plays out, Cowboys were so popular in 1953 that one was included
Eisenhower.
Yeah, it was Dwight Eisenhower. Monty Montana, who was a celebrity cowboy, rode up to the inaugural parade on horseback and lassoed the president.
Oh, it was like Hannah Montana's great-grandfather?
The security was different back then.
Yeah, I was about to say, different times. Different times.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that as a representation as opposed to tanks or some stupid military thing that you know, only Trump would want.
Right, exactly.
Well, the roads aren't built for tanks in Washington.
That's right. Whose inaugural parade included, on purpose, an Elvis impersonator?
Nixon?
Mm-mm.
Isn't he the only one that ever met Elvis?
Carter?
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't Carter. It was a little more modern.
Clinton.
It was Clinton. Yeah, Bill Clinton. I apologize.
Jeez, nobody listens to me.
It says Clinton wanted fun at his parade, so he included both an Elvis impersonator and a reggae band.
And
Arsenio
Hall.
And he was the first to get out of the car and walk for his inaugural parade.
And Pee Wee Herman was the drum major.
On his tricycle.
Oh.
Bicycle.
Two U.S. presidents were legally adopted. Who were they?
Gerald Ford was one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's one.
That's the obvious one.
Is legally adopted an important part of that question?
Well, only because it would be unfair with the popular logic around adoption to say that they lost their parents or were abandoned by their parents and then grew up in a different family. They were adopted by one of their parents.
Clinton, the other?
Clinton is the other one. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine the birtherism on that?
Adopted by one of your... I have questions.
Me too. Was
like a step-parent.
Stepdad or stepmom?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I was picturing like a biological parent, and then you adopt your kid.
But that doesn't... That's not how you think of being adopted as.
Yeah, obviously.
You just need some extra security to make sure your kids are your kids these days.
It's true. Having them come out of your body is clearly not enough anymore.
That's not enough.
I want to see a birth certificate, Stephanie.
This is why we instituted marriage, so that men would have a means
ownership
of
rights
their offspring, so that they could leave their property to their offspring.
Right.
Oh, I know you're going to love this one.
Being
one
Karl
president
Marx here for a while.
One president was gifted a 1,400-pound wheel of cheese at his inauguration, and it stayed in the White House.
Andrew Jackson's famous block of cheese.
That's right. It's Andrew Jackson.
Is Andrew Jackson this time?
Anybody who's watched West Wing knows that.
That's right.
It says that he held on to it for his entire term and decided to dispose of it uniquely when he left office. His second term was winding down. To get rid of it, 10,000 visitors attended a public reception and attacked the Wheel of Cheese with such fervor that the entire thing was gone in less than 120 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. Attack is such a horrible word to use right about now.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they didn't break out all the windows that time.
If you can climb this chain link fence.
Cheese erection.
Last one here from Marilyn. These are quite great. We've gone the gamut from adoption to cheese. What more?
Did you just say great right after a cheese question, Matt?
Yeah.
It's a little blue. Yeah.
Which president took a 19-day cross-country trip the summer after he retired?
Teddy Roosevelt?
Mm-mm. That sounds about right, but it's incorrect.
Yeah, but he would have done on horseback, too.
19-day cross-country trip.
You'll love this. He and his wife traveled in their brand-new Chrysler New Yorker, eating in cheap diners and staying at motels or with friends. No Secret Service accompanied him.
Wow.
He just packed the car and drove.
Truman.
Yeah.
Harry Jimmy Truman. Carter. Doesn't it sound like Harry Truman?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
You couldn't do that now.
That's his game, Harry Truman, you know.
The guy who loved paint by numbers.
So. Pretty well. Dave, if you want to mark it, I really think that was only one that we couldn't get right. It was Linda Bird Johnson Robb. So pretty darn good there, professors.
We survived.
Well, we have a communique from one of our longtime question writers, Kimberly Richards, asked me to read this on the air. I've been horribly lax on ATP in recent months. I've been dealing with a lot of things here, including some non-COVID related issues. And if you remember the last time we talked to Kimberly, she's really big into raising budgies, little parrots.
Yeah, and birds, I think yeah.
She lost a few of them at the end of 2020. So we're sorry to hear that. I literally caught up on the last dozen podcasts and two binge sessions over the weekend, all of which explains why you didn't get another set of questions immediately until after you used the last ones. And that's even more maddening to me as I've been separating out presidential trivia for you to use around the inauguration. So you know where this is coming. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell Beth that I have a story about the Kiss song as well. I think I've told you that my background is in radio programming. The first station I was program director at after a few years of being on-air talent was in 1978. The station was a sleepy, middle-of-the-road, easy listening format, which the mom of the mom-and-pop owners loved, but was bringing in close to zero ad revenue. So Pop hired me to install a soft rock format instead, basically top 40. As you might guess, the Kiss song was in the library and fit perfectly. One day, I went into a commercial break saying the Rolling Stones would play next, and here comes Mom in a tizzy. The song I played was Angie, remembering that she thought Beth was such a pretty song.
It is a pretty song.
Why am I picturing Kimberly Richards working at like WKRP?
It's possible. Kimberly says, I issued a memo to the effect that all the effort was to be expended to prevent her from ever finding out what the band actually looked like.
I mean, Dan, what was the name of that band in WKRP?
Oh, the three guys from Britain?
Scum.
The scum of the earth.
Scum of the earth, yes.
Oh, way to go, Heather. Awesome. Kimberly says, somehow we succeeded in hiding that fact from her. I thought Professor Oljar would appreciate the story. Oh, my. These are inaugural questions as well. We can sort of cap them onto the latter part of our show here. Which U.S. president is popularly known to have banned the use of a Christmas tree within the White House?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm. That was Teddy Roosevelt. An avowed environmentalist that said the tree should not need to be cut down. Mm-hmm. Which president delivered the first presidential address on radio almost 100 years ago?
Harding?
Hoover?
I think I heard it.
Coolidge? Coolidge?
It was Calvin Coolidge, yeah. December 6, 1923, the first ever presidential address over radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because by Roosevelt, that was more common, obviously. That's
right. Yeah, the fireside chats. Yeah.
Calvin Coolidge's son died from an ingrown toenail.
Ooh.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Disturbing.
I had those in my youth. It's not fun. It's not fun.
Foot care.
Glad I'm still alive. Tip. I think that most folks on this call are going to be able to answer this one within a nanosecond. Which U.S. vice president killed somebody while they were in office?
Aaron Burr.
Aaron Burr. Killed Alexander Hamilton.
Alexander Hamilton. You got it.
Of course, Mike Pence has probably got enough rage in him right about now.
I don't think he does. I mean, if he didn't have rage in him after the events of last week, then he's in some sense just insensate, right? I mean, he's just literally not sentient, I guess, unless mother says it's okay.
So true. So true. By the way, the tidbit that Kimberly always supplies with her questions, which U.S. vice president killed a man while in office? The death of Hamilton, however, ended Burr's political career.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's all it took. How about one more question, professors? We're running a little bit low on time. Let's see what you can do with this one. What was the only U.S. state won by the Democratic candidate in 1984?
Massachusetts.
Minnesota. California.
Beth got it. Minnesota. Won by Walter Mondale.
It's Mondale's home state. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. California would have been Reagan.
That was the first presidential election I voted in.
Oh, there you go. There you go. My Mondale story is very straightforward. My postdoc was at a small liberal arts college, McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And one day I was getting ready to wrap up to go home for the day and decided I'd hit the restroom on the way home. And Walter Mondale was in the restroom. And I was like, you ran for president in 1984. That's all I remember.
So you shared stalls or had a stall adjacent to him?
I will reveal nothing more about the event.
We don't need to know.
Walter Somewhere Mondale. In my house, I still have a Mondale Ferraro sign
I love
from
it.
That campaign.
That's right.
That's way too classy to mention whether he washed his hands on the way out.
I not going Seinfeld on this.
Jeff, you'll notice he didn't shake his hand. He just,
nod.
I can tell you without question, he did not recognize who I was.
What?
That's
why he lost.
Professors, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. So we're going to first say goodbye, Jacob.
Goodbye.
Jeff.
Hail to you, Chiefs.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Steven.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Beth.
Bye.
Mara.
Toodaloo.
Heather.
Goodbye.
Stephanie.
Bye.
And Jim.
Arrivederci.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. We're produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next time, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.